All ears on me. It's another of the Femme Fatale podcasts featuring several things, okay? Featuring me, your host and veteran entertainment reporter, Leslie Gornstein. That's thing one, okay? Thing two is invariably your questions about the inner workings of celebrity and entertainment culture. Mix all that together, and what do you get? Episode 20 of this podcast, in which I take your questions via email, Twitter, Facebook, my own blog, and I dig deep and I answer them. No holds barred, unless I might get sued, in which case, screw the truth. Sorry. I like living in a house that I own. With me this week is Baby Vegas.
Heyo.
Hello, whose job is to marvel at everything I say. Go ahead and warm up now, if you will.
Oh my gosh. Ah, what?
Very good. Okay, you can keep going while I talk if you want to do that in the background. Okay, Baby Vegas will also be reading aloud your questions later in the program, and then marveling all over again at my answers like this.
Gasp.
That's not bad. That's not bad. If you're wondering what manner or class of question I'm preparing this evening, very well. Listener named Juliet is seeing posters for the Lone Ranger go up in her hometown of London and is wondering why it's okay to cast Johnny Depp as a Native American.
Ooh.
I have that answer. Yes, there's an actual answer to every question is my point, and I have it. Another listener has a question about the origin of your favorite porn star's name, of course, and we'll get to that. Plus, if you've ever wondered how much a rising band makes when opening for a bigger act on tour, I have your answer, and I guarantee you're not going to see this coming. Guarantee you're not going to see it coming. But first, we got to do a cage match. One day, I will be so famous, I won't need to explain to you people what my cage matches are. But until that day, know this. Baby Vegas has kind of a skinny neck.
Yeah.
Kind of like a skinny...
Oh, thank you.
It's getting muscular now that you've been playing tennis. But you see, you like that. You're like, oh, thank you for complimenting me on my pencil-like neck. And for reasons unknown, I just occasionally fantasize about squeezing that neck with increasing but controlled force. Until the blood is shut off from his brain and he's no longer able to post an endless parade of Facebook selfies of himself in tennis shorts. Last time I checked, however, such activity was illegal. I don't mean posting the selfies. That should be illegal. I'm talking about choking my co-host.
They're not selfies. Someone else took those pictures.
Oh, yeah. I guess you're right. Yeah, you're right. You can't be, like, leaping the way you are in, like, total, like, athletic, like, Serena Williams joy and be snapping the photo at the same time.
Thank you.
But
thank
seriously,
you.
Every 30 seconds, it's like, boop. JJ Winkers has changed his profile pic. And I'm like, there are shorts involved. I know there are shorts. There are shorts involved. All right. So I must satisfy myself with strangling Baby Vegas virtually, symbolically, as it were, with some sort of imaginary weapon. That weapon is the celebrity sighting. He reports a celebrity sighting that he's had. I throw down mine. And of course I win. But I pretend for a while that it's an even contest. And if it actually is an even contest, I roust my sound engineer and he makes the call. In which I win. But anyway, so, are you ready for our cage match?
I'm ready. Let's do it.
All right, you go ahead. Step in.
Okay.
What is your weapon of choice this week?
My weapon of choice this week is very close to home. I was out in West Hollywood last week and gasp.
What?
I turned around and saw what I could... only be struck by as the like early 20 something version of you.
A lesbian,
lesbian
Femme Fatale?
Leslie.
Are you kidding me?
No, it was shocking. I had to stare at her for a little while because she looks
so
much like
you. What does a lesbian Femme Fatale look like?
She she's very cute.
Uh-huh.
She had your alabaster skin.
So she has like my corpse-like charm.
Corpse-like charm.
Okay, what else?
You guys had very similar hair.
Do I have like the sort of the moony Eastern European face? Very moon-shaped Eastern European
okay,
face.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
Right, you
is
see that?
Is that what you would call it?
It's like a pleasant full moon of a face.
Shining with beauty.
Shining with beauty. Oh, look at you. You are in rare form today.
And she had very similar glasses to you as well.
Really?
She clearly wasn't quite as in control of as her pizzazz and magic as you. She seemed a little...
Was she angry yet?
A little baby bird-like.
baby bird like a fledgling femme fatale?
Maybe a fledgling femme fatale. Indeed.
And you didn't take any photos.
I didn't.
Think that is a huge celebrity sighting,
right? I think I win.
I don't know. I we may need to bring the sound engineer into this one. No, see, this is seeing me seeing like bizarro Leslie. Where did you see her, by the way?
This newish bar in West Hollywood called Bayou.
Okay.
It's got $2 Bud Lights, y'all.
Did she have a girlfriend that was redheaded with blue-green eyes?
No, unfortunately. Oh, that sounds beautiful, though.
No, because that's what my man.
Oh, that's right.
Redheaded with blue, and that would have been crazy.
Oh my God, alternate lesbian versions of the both of you.
That would have been amazing. Yeah, but no. But okay, now here's what I have. Have you ever been to Real Food Daily?
Maybe. Is that on
It's the
Fairfax?
Vegan restaurant on, I believe it's La Cienega, yes? La Cienega.
Yes, La Cienega. La Cienega.
Real Food Daily is very interesting. It's the kind of place that if you're really ignorant and you're from the East Coast, you make fun of it. But totally. It's a vegan restaurant. Mm. It's actually very good.
It's delicious.
It's delicious. And I went there for the first time the other night.
Mm-hmm.
And I had things with wonderful names. I ate things like a sea cake. Something on the menu called a sea cake. Mm. And I couldn't resist it. I had to have it. It was like a cake from the sea. Yum. And it was like a patty. It was an appetizer, so it wasn't desserty.
Mm-hmm.
With like a corn and mushrooms and everything kind of pressed together. Not to be confused with something they called pressed salad, which I did not have. But made me very curious.
Yeah.
Yes. They also we had some yammy fries.
Yeah, I'm a love.
I
yams.
Believe that that's what it with and it was they were very delicious as well. And my sound engineer was there. He actually ate the pizza. There was there's a pizza there with a gluten free crust and cheese made out of like cashews or something.
Oh, yeah.
And it was very good. It was very tasty. He ate on it. He ate the whole thing.
I love gluten free. Pizza dough and cashew cheese.
Really? And you also like yams, which
love
makes
yams.
We need to discuss this later because I need to start eating more yams, and I look askance at yams. They're like,
oh, I literally eat them every day.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Literally you eat a yam every day?
Literally every day, almost 2 pounds.
Really every day?
Mm-hmm.
All right, no comment. So I'm there in the yammy restaurant and in walks Moby. Moby.
Of course he did.
Well, of course he did because he's a vegan. He actually apparently owns a vegan restaurant called Teeny in his native New York.
Oh.
But he was here on this side of town. And I guess there's no Teeny here, so he had to go to Real Food Daily. And he is exactly as short as you suspect he is.
I feel like, does he look a lot like, what's his name, who plays the dean on Community?
I don't know. Like I haven't watched Community in a long time.
Mm, okay.
He's short of stature. He's bald, and he's got the glasses. He basically is exactly as he looks in his photos.
Wow.
And he walked in, and I've got a girlfriend with me named Kirsten.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Kirsten Holly Smith, she's a performer. She's an actress and a writer and a singer. And for a long time, she had a live show off Broadway. It was a dedication to, it was a one-woman show based on the lives and songs of Dusty Springfield.
Oh.
Yeah, it's fabulous. So she it was critically acclaimed, and now she's back out here trying to figure out what the next step is going to be. It's probably going to be something to do with Dusty Springfield. So she's out here, and she's the type of person who will just walk up to somebody and just be like, hey, I have a show. Do you want to come? So she walks up to Moby, like while we're eating our yammy fries.
Mm-hmm.
Moby comes. She says that she goes over to Moby. Whatever she says is perfect. He gives her a hug, the European double kiss.
My God.
And she comes back with his email address. Yes. And she's like, hey, can I send you info about whatever it is I'm doing? He's like, sure. Everything. Yeah.
Go.
That's Kirsten. But I don't know. Me, a lesbian me is pretty huge. I may have to ask the sound engineer to weigh in on this one. Who wins the cage match?
The world's not big enough for two of you. So
Moby. Okay, excellent. Very good.
Speaking on Moby, really quick before we get to the first question.
Go ahead.
He was casting a video to shoot with another musician he was collaborating like later this month. And they put out an open casting call for like circus performers, people on roller skates, chubby, bear-like gay men smoking cigarettes or just crazy, all sorts of crazy stuff like this.
Pause for a second. What did the casting call say? Did it say bear-type gay men?
Definitely.
It said bear-type gay men.
I'm paraphrasing, but
okay.
It was
did it
definitely
say like twinks,
looking
bears,
for...
seals? I mean, did it actually say that?
They weren't necessarily looking for gay men, but they definitely were looking for one bear type men.
Okay.
Was one of the groups of people they were looking for.
Okay.
And like 20 mixed visual people willing to be naked, comfortable
okay.
with nudity. The comfortability with nudity being the most important aspect of those 20 people.
Okay.
And my friend Kim was like, oh my God, you have to go audition for this. And I couldn't get off of work, but I emailed them anyways and sent a couple of pictures from my dance troupe and was like, I can't come in for the casting call, but I figured it was worth a shot. And now that you're bringing up Moby, I just realized that they never emailed me.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Oh, you're lost, Moby.
Especially because he was so nice to my other friend, but he wasn't nice to you.
No, let's just assume he wasn't handling the emails.
Well, he's got a record coming out, I think, in October, so he may have been a little busy. So anyway, I win the cage match.
Woo!
Yes, I do. Consider your neck softly strangled. Go ahead and get to the first listener question.
All right, from Caroline Gaston.
Mm-hmm.
Caroline Gaston asks via Facebook,
what?
Hi, Leslie.
Hi.
When smaller unknown bands are chosen to support a much bigger act on a world tour, who pays for their travel and accommodations? I assume bands get maybe a per diem as well as catering at the venue, but aside from whenever a band is paid to be on tour, who pays for the rest? I'm thinking particularly of 5 Seconds of Summer, the previously unheard of band opening for One Direction's massive global tour. They don't even have an album on to shill on the tour, just a few t-shirts. So they're not using
That's okay.
Sorry, Caroline. So they're not using dough earned at the merch stand to pay for gas in the tour bus. Who is footing the bill? Thanks. Caroline, I gotta say, I love the voice I'm assuming is yours.
I was gonna say.
Bonus question.
Oh, yeah?
Will you ever write another book? I still have my copy of the A-List Playbook on the shelf. It's lonely.
Double dipping. I don't usually allow double dipping, but those two questions both seem highly important.
Yes, they
equally
do.
And highly important. So with no personal agenda working behind the scenes at all here, I shall answer both.
Mm-hmm.
First, the band question. In case you're wondering who knows the answer to this kind of question other than the band, that's easy. You ask a former or current record exec.
Mm.
And I got Angela Thomas, who's the former vice president of marketing at EMI Sony Polygram. And now she's at a marketing house called Prana.
Mm.
And she works with a local music venue also near Prana, in her own words. And she says, quote, I see what some of these artists get. So what would happen in most cases, Thomas tells me, is that the record company would be paying for their travel and hotel, ground transport if it's a tour bus, or flights. Transportation to visit radio stations when they're in town and promote. Food per diem, yes, she's sure the label's paying for that. As for how much they pocket, how much their salary is, are you ready for it?
No.
You're not ready for it?
Mm-mm.
Do you have any guesses?
Yes, because I saw the answer.
Okay. The answer is nothing.
Whoa.
Probably nothing. And I'm going to quote Thomas as saying, I'm sure they're not making any more than that, close quote. So just to make sure we know the full scope of what this information means, these people have likely committed to play a total of 122 shows, 57 in Europe, 41 in North America, 24 in Australasia, which is where the tour has headed next, by the way. The first two legs are done.
Wow.
Right now, the tour is on break, but when it ramps up again next month, they will be playing up to 4 nights in a row across Australia and New Zealand, along with the One Direction, who, make no mistake, that band is raking in cash. As for the gross revenue we've seen from this Take Me Home tour thus far, we're looking at nearly $24 million.
Oh.
And they have, and that's just like from 11 cities in Europe and North America. We haven't even talked about Australasia yet. So how much cash might each guy from One Direction be getting? Well, in another interview, Thomas told me that a single person act like Chris Brown could pocket, not gross, not net, pocket an estimated $200,000 a night.
Oh my God.
For a concert. Unless apparently you're the opening act for Chris Brown. As for why the structure is in place, apparently this is considered pretty standard in the music industry. As a label sees it, the band 5 Seconds of Summer, is that what it's called? 5 Seconds of, what the hell? Who came up with that?
Right.
Really? 5 Seconds of, is it the 5 Seconds of, oh, for God's sake. I could come up with
that. Let's hope they have more than 5 Seconds of fame.
Whoa, whoa. 5 Seconds of Summer has this fantastic opportunity to be exposed to all of One Direction's fans and build their fan base. Like, that's how the label sees things. But by the way, right now, I did some research, I don't think they have a label right now. I don't think 5 Seconds has a label.
Do they have an album or an EP?
They've got an album coming out. Uh-huh. They've got a publishing deal with Sony ATV. Mm. So this may be coming through Sony ATV. But maybe I'm really dissing this a little too hard, because in May, in the middle of that Take Me Home tour, mm-hmm. That they're probably supporting for free, 5 Seconds of Summer announced a national Australian tour, mm-hmm. nicknamed the Pants Down Tour. It should be called the Pants Down Under Tour.
Oh.
Hello? God, do they need to hire me?
Apparently.
It included dates in Sydney, Perth, Brisbane, Adelaide, and Melbourne, all of which sold out within minutes.
Oh, wow.
And so I guess in a way, you get your money, but when you think about it, you're really just getting the opportunity now to work for more money.
Well, it's
money.
Like an internship.
It's an unpaid internship, right? With One Direction. Yeah. Anyway, this person also asked whether I'm writing another book. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Ooh.
Right? Good news.
Yeah.
I'm updating the A-List playbook, my expose about how stars really live.
Ooh.
You can get your first edition out now, or the second edition is expected out next year. So, huzzah.
Huzzah.
Huzzah. Next question.
Juliet Santos writes via Twitter, all the Lone Ranger posters are now up in London. How is it okay to cast Johnny Depp as Tonto? See what I did there?
You know, yeah, I did see what you did there. I did. I saw that. That's good. Yeah, I don't see why Moby didn't hire you. Go ahead.
Is his value greater than any potential controversy?
First of all, his value may be dropping even as I write this.
Oh, wow.
Actually, at the start of this year, Depp was considered one of the few surefire bets for making one's money back as a producer.
Wow.
He started out this year with a 100 Ulmer score, which if you follow this podcast, you know what that means. Mm-hmm. That people who invest in a Depp movie have an estimated 100% chance of making all their money back in foreign distribution pre-sales before a single frame has been shot. Do you follow?
That's pretty incredible.
Good. Very few. That's very good. You want to marvel some more?
Wow.
What? Very few other actors have that kind of score. Very few. Of course, that score was ranked before this summer when Lone Ranger came out to hideous reviews. Mm-hmm. So far, the flick has made about $200 million worldwide on a budget of about $225 million. So it'll probably make its money back eventually, but it was far from a hit, and critics hated it. And that may count against Depp's bankability slightly moving forward. Now, the reason I say all this is to address the second half of the question first, which is his value greater than the controversy of hiring him? Mm-hmm. The answer to that is he still has great value. And in Hollywood, controversy is not a negative. Oh. It's not a liability. It's just another positive.
True.
So win-win. As for the first half of this question, how is it okay to cast Depp as Tonto? Okay. There was an advisor from the Comanche Nation mm-hmm. on the set. But some people were still pissed because Depp is white. He's just white. I know. He says that he thinks he has like a great grandmother who's Cherokee or something.
He thinks
he might have that. Who knows? But a lot of people are like, no. Adrian Keene, who's a Cherokee writer who blogs under Native Appropriations, mm-hmm. told me last year that she was not down. She was not down. She's like, he's wearing face paint that looks like it should be in Kiss, and he has a dead bird on his head. And what does that really mean on a broader level? Now,
is that the same bird that Carrie Bradshaw had on her head in the Sex and the City movie?
A crow? If it was a crow, then the answer is yes. Now, this is interesting. My friends at 2Fab mm-hmm. did a recent investigation into Johnny Depp's ancestry using Ancestry.com.
Oh.
And they found out that there's actually no immediate evidence that Depp is Native American. He is black, by the way.
Oh.
Yeah. Stay black. Armie Hammer, just to confuse you. Mm-hmm. Seems to have more Native Americans in his family tree.
Wow.
Yeah. Either way, more vocal and visible Native Americans have been really enthusiastic about this. So for every Native American who's pissed, there are like 40 who think it's great. Todd McDaniels is a linguist at the Comanche Nation College. Mm-hmm. He actually praised Depp's attempts to speak the Comanche language, which only has about 30 living Native speakers.
Wow.
And last year, I even interviewed a Native American woman who made Depp an honorary family member.
Oh, that's right.
Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Just because of the putting the crow on the head.
Oh, wow.
LaDonna Harris was that lady's name. She told me that she did go ahead and ceremonially adopt the actor in her backyard in May of last year.
Was he there?
He was there. Per tradition, Depp was given small gifts such as pottery to then redistribute to the people who were honoring him. It's a ceremonial thing.
Mm.
You get gifts, you give gifts, but it's mm-hmm. ceremonial. It's not like they expect you to bring
mm-hmm.
a car.
Gotcha.
Now, Harris is president of Americans for Indian Opportunity, and she told me that she really liked Depp's portrayal of Tonto.
Mm-hmm.
She got to see it. And she said, I don't share any concerns for one reason, is what she told me at the time. Tonto is a role reversal this time. He's the hero in the movie, the brains, and the sidekick is the white guy, so to speak. She said, I've admired him for quite some time. He's always referred to his own Native American heritage, and it was an appropriate time to see if he wanted to be adopted into my family, close quote. Stay black. All right, final question, please.
Billy Z asked via Facebook, I was just reading this post on BuzzFeed from the porn star Connor Habib. He says he recently learned that his stage name is someone else's real name. I was wondering how often this happens, or if it's something that really is an issue all that often.
Okay. You were laughing. Why do you think this is so funny?
You're like, number one, Connor Habib. What a bizarre name to make a choice to be your porn star name.
Yeah, he has a whole theory. He does what a lot of porn stars do, which they pick the names of two people they like or admire or are in their families, and they put them together.
In right? their families, but an honor.
Yeah. I'm wondering if there's a Baby Vegas who's a porn star.
Oh, my gosh.
You would love that, wouldn't you?
I hope they're cute.
Yeah. If they're not cute, would that break your heart?
I would
if
be disappointed.
If they were fat, would that break your heart? It would.
A little bit.
Well, this really is not an issue all that often. First, let's get to how these names are chosen. I interviewed a fabulous person for this one. Nikki Hartz.
Ooh.
A porn actress who splained a few things to me. She's a gay porn actress. And I have to say, like, I looked up photos of her. She's kind of cute.
Like, gay porn for
like lesbian.
Women
she likes to, yes. Women, she likes to, yeah. That's why she got, one of the reasons she got into the business is mm-hmm. because she saw a dearth of that. And she wanted to see more porn, lesbian dyke, quote unquote, dyke porn.
Okay. For dykes, by dykes?
I guess, yeah. And like, I thought, okay, first of all, you would think that there would be plenty out there with all the porn that's made. And the fact that there is any kind of market out there that is being ill-served shocks me.
Mm, sure.
But this was back in like 2011. Anyway, she's kind of cute.
Like, Nikki Hartz?
Yeah. I was like, oh, wow. Yes, that's kind of like a girl crushy kind of cute. So Nikki tells me that many times agents actually pick the name.
Oh.
Quote, are you ready for this?
Mm-hmm.
Lots of new girls will come into the industry and they don't have the biggest personality. They're like dumb girls. So their agent just pulls something out of their ass.
And then they go pull something out of their ass?
And then, hey-o. Other times, quote, girls will go with something super bizarre and their agent will say, you need to go by so-and-so so people will be able to tell who you are.
Oh, gotcha. So they can actually remember your
name.
They
can actually remember your name. Example that Nikki told me. Open quote. There was a girl with my same agent. She used to be in the industry, and she had a common name that she chose, like Augustine. But she spelled it completely insane. And the agent was like, you're going by London Belle because everyone will remember that. Boom, done, end of discussion. As for Nikki Hartz, she had no idea when she started in this business in 2011 what she would call herself. She idolizes Nikki Six, and this is interesting. Apparently, a lot of porn stars like Nikki Six.
Really?
There's Nikki Sex. There's Nikki Seven. And there's Nikki Hartz. And because they all idolize, there's some sort of Nikki Six porn nexus that I need to explore in a later show. So she started with that. And when a director on her first casting call insisted she pick a name right then and there, she tried to sort of fill out the rest of the form and she was really nervous and she hadn't even thought of a name yet. And she hands her form over to this lady director. And this lady director is like, you didn't even fill out the first question, which is, what is your stage name? So she just blurted out Hartz. Because Hartz is the last name her girlfriend uses in her fashion label, Lindsay Hartz.
Oh.
So it turns out, relating to this question, that there is someone else who goes by Nikki Hartz on social media.
Oh.
So our Nikki Hartz does kind of have a doppelganger out there. But Nikki thinks, and she's kind of frustrated, our Nikki Hartz is kind of frustrated because this person does not update very often on Twitter. So it's like, oh, would you please just get off of that Twitter handle so I can get on the Twitter handle. So Nikki Hartz has to go by Nikki Hartz XXX. But Nikki thinks that this other girl may be a younger girl or a teenager. So she doesn't want to be like, hi, I'm a porn star. Could you please move? Like, it just wouldn't, it won't end well.
Who are you talking to on device?
Exactly. So that's it. And there's also another really funny story, I think, that somebody told me about. What somebody wanted to go by Cleo Valentine. There's a woman in porn called Cleo Valentine. Uh-huh. And according to Nikki, Cleo Valentine picked her name while drunk. And she spelled it crazy wrong. She spelled it like Valentian. And Cleo, like K-L-I-E-A-O, something like that. And then Valentine, I-E-N. And then she immediately went out and registered it on all kinds of sites. And
oh my God, drunk?
And apparently, and drunk. She's now stuck with it. She's completely stuck with it. So, yes.
If I were a lesbian porn star, I think my name would be Clea Duvalva.
You know, I'm really surprised that hasn't been taken yet.
I know, right? I'm going to make a killing.
You really buying just, that domain you and I'm just, you
find
just
my own star
go ahead and start auditioning right now, because I'm sure that won't be a problem. So that's it for this edition of my show. Have I satisfactorily answered this question?
As much as Nikki Hart satisfies her co-stars.
You don't have to be cute. You don't have
I can't
to be
help it.
You don't have to be that way. You don't have to wear that dress tonight. All right. Where do they reach me? If you want to ask me a question.
If they want to ask you a question, yes. They can find you at the Femme Fatale via Twitter. At Femme Fatale Says.
On Twitter.
On Twitter. Or they can email you at leslie@thefemmefatale.com. Or they can leave a comment for you on your blog at www.thefemmefatale.com. Or they can find you on Facebook and talk to you there at The Femme Fatale on Facebook. Also, if they can't stand waiting for your weekly podcast, they should know that you update your blog with tidbits of deliciousness to keep them tided over. And once again, y'all, www.femmefatale.com.
And where do they reach you in case they need like another selfie this week? Because they're low on selfies.
Baby Vegas with a Z on Twitter.
Okay. Thank you very much. This has been another edition of my show. We will see you next week.